one tip. If you know who you're serving and what they want, you're 90% of the way there.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Episode number 140, 140 shows. The numbers just keeps getting up there. And thank you for being here with me today. We are doing great here in mid-September in Shenzhen, China. And I've been just catching up all over the weekend with family time, reading English books to kids, and baby birthday parties. So anyways, let's go on to today's show right off the bat. We're going to go hop over to USA domestic selling on Amazon. This is for people that maybe aren't yet ready to invest in large MOQs with Chinese factories to get their own brands. But don't let that get in your way. Brad DeGraw is on the show today, and he's going to explain to you how you can get started with a very little or almost no upfront investment to get selling on Amazon. So he shares some great value and insights. So let's listen in. Thank you, everybody, tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We have with us Brad DeGraw. Thanks for coming on, Brad.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure. We were just talking before recording. You know, you're over there in Denver. I'm here in China, the global world. So it's great we can still make these topics available. So do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners before we get started?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Brad DeGraw. My specialty is Amazon. We create products, and then we launch them online. And China is a big part of that.
Definitely, I know. So you're currently dealing with a lot of Chinese suppliers or domestic US suppliers? Or
right now, it's about half and half. Our motto is we do whatever makes sense. And sometimes the products, they just make sense to be made in the US. And then other times, it just makes sense to have them made overseas.
Great. So maybe give some people some of the brief history of your Amazon business endeavor.
Sure. I actually started 4 years ago with $100 and a Wi-Fi connection. I got fired from my normal job and I had to do something, maybe put on a tie and go back to work or start a business. And so for me, I started with a business called Arbitrage, which is just buying existing brands merchandise low and then selling high. And that evolved into, you know, creating bundles. So instead of doing singles, we did multi-packs. And eventually, private label, where we stuck our own label or own logo on a product. And that was fun for a while, but then it evolved even further to making unique products, custom.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a evolution though, right? I think I've had other friends too that started with Arbitrage, like, literally, I see their pictures on Facebook. They're buying stuff at Target, Walmart, and then selling on Amazon. Is that something? I mean, I heard last people were doing that even at Christmas time earlier. And do you think that still is working?
Yeah, it's still a business model that works. The challenge is it's not a real business. It's a glorified job. Because if you stop, if you get sick or you stay at home a day, that's a day that you're not going to make money. So yeah, my wife does it. Even when we go to the store to buy groceries, she'll swing by the clearance section, have a cart or sometimes two carts full of clearance stuff to send into Amazon.
Awesome. That's great. So you got a family there of business opportunities.
People. She is a hustler.
Yeah, yeah. Hustler is the right word for sure. Awesome. And then private label, maybe I think people are familiar here on the show, but so that's like, yeah, of course, the next level where you found a product that is working and then you maybe ask the factory or the supplier to put your own brand on it. So there's not much customization, right? So maybe give people an idea here.
Yeah. So Amazon's a simple, simple machine. It's a whole platform full of customers ready to buy merchandise. So you can use some really basic tools to see where are people spending their money on Amazon? And the thing that you need to do from there, once you find some ideas, is look at those 1, 2, and 3-star reviews. So that's people's missed expectations. So if you don't know where to start at all, start with a market. That's a group of people who are passionate about a specific problem, fantasy, desire. If you're taking notes, underline those words, problem, fantasy, desire. So it could be diabetes. It could be curly hair. It could be sports and outdoors, recreations, fitness. And then we focus on what are those products? What are the missed expectations? And then we communicate those with the suppliers. So, for example, if it's, there's one that we're looking at. It's buffalo beef jerky. So it's jerky made out of bison.
Huh,
and the problem is the packaging. The packaging's not sealed properly, and the meat's actually getting contaminated. Well, that's a simple fix in the process. We don't actually have to fix the product. It's the packaging of the product. And then we won't be selling, you know, contaminated meat.
Got it. So, yeah, I mean, is there, I guess, a system, or I think somebody's just maybe picking a product they're passionate about or interested in, or and then checking those reviews for that, for those opportunities?
Well, not just, it's okay if you're not specifically interested in this. I sell some women's health products that I could never really be truly interested in because it never really worked for me. It's about finding something that's emotional. Buying is truly an emotional experience. Once we get away from commodities like bottled water and toilet paper, you can get into an emotional experience like luxury bed sheets. You know, it's an experience that you're going after rather than just filling a very basic need. So we're a big fan of problems, fantasies, and desires, because those problems, fantasies, and desires we carry with us through our whole life. So we can sell them more and more products, because those problems, fantasies, and desires, they really don't change that much.
Yeah, that makes sense. So do we have an example for each of those three that we could
sure.
use?
Yeah, let's dive into it. So I'm a dad. My kid's 9 years old. And every dad's fantasy is, I'm the best dad in the world. I'm a better dad than my dad was, and my kid's going to have a better childhood experience than I did. So when he was a toddler, I bought him a product called Your Baby Can Read. And the funny thing is, it's basically flashcards. But I spent $180 on this. Flashcards. And if I watched a few YouTube videos, I could have made them myself for, you know, less than 10 bucks. But I bought them. I invested that money because that's what the greatest dad would do. And he's 9 and he's now reading Moby Dick. So it actually worked. I get to fill that fantasy. Problems can be, for example, weight loss. Here in America, people... It's a stereotype that we eat too much, we move too little, and obesity is a challenge. So there are tons of great influences of saying, you know, let's slim down, let's try to take care of our bodies. So problems, fantasies, desires. We also have a line of sexual wellness products. We don't need to go deep into that, but there's some excitement in the aspect of having an enhanced orgasm. So problems, fantasies, desires.
Cool. Thanks for that. And so you said like $100. I think a lot of times people are always kind of overwhelmed or feeling they got to buy inventory or invest in the product quite a bit. I know that's always a stumbling block. Maybe give some people ideas of maybe less capital upfront.
Sure. Yeah, there's a whole myriad of options. If capital is one of the constraints, then focus on something that's inexpensive to make and has great margins. So there's endless opportunities. Think of the materials, especially like in China. You know, all over the world, plastic pretty much costs the same. The thing that you're saving on in China is potentially labor and maybe some environmental compliance. So you can do plastics, you can do silicone. There's so many great materials that China's fantastic, and they can pump these things out for pennies. Recent example, we had a product that's just one piece of silicone. In the United States, it would have cost us close to $15,000 for the mold. In China, we called and we negotiated a little bit, and they said that give us the mold for free. Basically, they baked it into the price. And so we ordered 6,000 pieces for our landed cost with the product and the packaging, everything, soup to nuts with delivery. We had the product landed for about 50 cents a unit.
Awesome.
Very
exciting. And so do you think people should go to China right away, you think? Or maybe not? I don't know. I'm 50-50 with this, you know, depending on their level of expertise. And
I'm a big fan. This is what sets us apart from a lot of folks. I'm a big fan with starting domestically. If this is your absolute first time, it may make more sense to find a product that you can start in the U.S. Because ultimately, over time, your business is built on relationships. It's not about the nickels and dimes. So it may be easier for you to have better communication, faster relationships here in the U.S., where it's easier to jump on a phone call, native English speakers, you have the same culture, same time zones, versus maybe jumping on Alibaba late at night and trying to have, you know, a chat conversation or send emails.
True, exactly. Like, got a lot more wide options for times to make phone calls and communication. And plus, they just kind of understand you. I think a lot of times when you're first time buying from China or another culture or country or language, you know, people kind of don't understand. There's a lot of communication that needs to be done to get over that barrier or that difference. So, you know, like American to American, you can kind of just maybe briefly explain it on a phone or an email and they kind of get it. But yeah, I think with China, you really should be more clear exactly what you need.
Yeah, in the US, they kind of assume the right thing more naturally. In China, for example, if you say, okay, I need a product insert and this is what it needs to look like, and you send them the digital file, if you didn't tell them exactly how thick the paper may be, then they'll go with the cheapest option, which can be tissue paper, which is not appropriate for most product inserts. But in the US, they would go with the most common option. And so, yeah, it's just easier for the folks here on this side of the ocean to make the right assumption.
So I kind of like the idea, you know, for this theme of our talk today is, you know, starting with low capital. So maybe the people working, trying to get out of their suit and tie jobs, maybe in corporate America, you're saying they're searching online, finding products that have bad reviews or finding those problems, fantasies, and desires, like you mentioned, which is a great, great 3-point list. And then they're finding a supplier. Do you think it's a wholesaler? I guess basically I'm trying to think maybe some actionable items for a new newbie trying to get in again.
Sure. Yeah. Here's the place to start for someone brand new. Pick a market first. And it's a specific problem, fantasy, desire. You can watch the news. Here in the U.S., people are freaking out over mosquitoes. It's summer. There's more mosquitoes. That's normal. However, this year there's a deadly mosquito virus. Someone just recently died in the U.S. And it affects the health of people's families. So if you can sell a product like that with a high emotional charge to it, every parent is happy to spend a premium for the citronella candle and the wristband and all the mosquito type products. And these are very inexpensive to make. So read the 1, 2, and 3-star reviews, find a way to make the product just a little bit better. And it's based on the customer's feedback. You don't have to be very creative. You can go after barbecuing. That's a big thing. Outdoor gardening. There's so many great products that you can go after for not a lot of capital.
Got it. And then U.S. manufacturers. I'm always curious. We've had some topics about, you know, reshoring was one of the topics, bringing manufacturing back to America. Where do you suggest people to find these American suppliers?
We do things a little bit different than most folks. We don't use Google for this. We use a tool called Reference USA, and it's a list broker service. I use a library card that makes the subscription free. If you don't have a library card or you don't have a university ID, you may actually have to pay for the list. And it's called InfoUSA if you're paying for it. And it's ReferenceUSA if you get it for free. Again, if you're a little bit thrifty, just go get a library card. And that library most likely has already paid the subscription for you. And then from ReferenceUSA, you could do a keyword search like plastic water bottle manufacturers. And then it'll spit out a list. It'll give you the SIC code. So it's a 6-digit code that is relevant to that type of business. So it'd be one code for manufacturers, another code for distributors, another code for wholesalers, another code for retail outlets. So you want the one that's tied to manufacturing. You punch that in and you can go specific for your geography or nationwide. Generally speaking, the Midwest is a great place to manufacture, because the cost of living is low and it's easy to get to both coasts. And then we just call them up If you want, I'll give you the script we use as well.
Sure. Why not? Yeah. Or preview. That'd be great.
So I'll send this to you in a digital format so people can just look at it on their screen. But the basic points for this, we call up and we say, we're looking to buy a specific type of merchandise. Let's say BPA-free baby bottles. Oh, great. Is this your first time ordering with us? Are you already in the system? No, I'm not. Maybe you can get me over to sales. They get you over to the sales department, and you're really going to ask three questions because this is not a scheduled call. They're busy playing Pokemon or filing a report or going to lunch or doing other things. So you just say, hey, I'll be very brief. I didn't schedule the call. Just got three questions, and then you can get back to your day. First thing is, how do you guys like to get paid? Now, you're not really asking this because you absolutely need that information.
Yeah, yeah.
What we're trying to do is frame up the conversation. So that salesperson now has a higher interest in what you have to say. So they're going to charge you a little bit extra for credit cards. That's okay. It's worth it. And like an extra 3%. So once you get through, how do we get you guys paid? The next one is, what is your lead time? From the time I pay you to the time you're ready to ship, what's your turnaround time? So it could also be lead time or production time. Same thing. The third question, and they're loving you right now because you just said you're going to pay them twice. And the third thing you're going to ask is, what's a realistic first order? Sometimes it's called the MOQ, initial order, sample order. That's all the same thing. Basically, how many units are they going to put in a box with your name on it this first go round? And I ask them what's a realistic number because they know how they buy the materials. If they're buying, if they have to buy 3,000 ounces, or 8,000 board feet, they know how they buy the materials. So it makes more sense for them to tell us the realistic MOQ. If we tell them we're going to have to pay the full amount for all the materials they bought, they're just going to ship us less units. Does that make sense?
Yeah, this is great. I mean, I love it. I started my first e-commerce business also with, you know, US suppliers and wholesalers. And I'm happy to hear that you're given these strategies because, yeah, I think it's great, you know, supposed to just in time inventory, right? JIT and probably lower manufacturing runs and easier to customize. So it's very interesting.
It's the best way to do it, especially if you're getting started because we're not crossing a border. Every time you cross a border, there's a little bit of a challenge and some inefficiencies. So it's time inefficiencies and money inefficiencies. There's costs associated with that. So having the things made nearby, just like you said, quicker turnaround time. Every now and then, it's nice to meet your suppliers, whether it's a good visit, like, hey, everything's going great, here's lunch, or whether it's more abrasive. Hey, guys, I really need inventory. You're killing me because we're sold out and we've been sold out and you're back ordered. Please expedite my order. Do whatever we can to get some inventory out the door.
Exactly. Cool. So yeah, this is a great topic. I know a lot of people will benefit. And then scaling up is pretty much easier. I guess you just probably find a good, you know, good guy, just stick with them, right? You're focusing on sales and marketing or how you deal with that.
Here's another thing that folks sometimes miss on suppliers. You don't need one good supplier. You need three. And the reason for that is once your sales take off, you want to be able to scale up. And if your supplier, your only supplier, becomes backordered or finds that you're at the bottom of the list, you need to be able to pick up the phone to supplier B and supplier C and get your orders going. So make sure that when you're recruiting suppliers, you have three. And then, yeah, our general rule of thumb is once we've sold through half the inventory, we can pick up the phone or send an email that says, let's do another production run. Now, your second order, it may need to be bigger. If your first order was 500 units, they may tell you you have to do 1,000 or 2,000 units on your next go round. So that's why it's nice to have three suppliers because you had 500 from the first one, 500 from the second one, 500 for the third. So by the time you go into your fourth production run, you're okay to go 1,000 or 2,000 units.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally, totally. Sometimes I just think of the challenges with molds and things like that. It depends, I guess, if it's a mold required or not, or is there a solution for that?
Yeah, molds can be a little bit pricey. And if you have someone that did a great job on the mold, keep using them. And there's really not too much that can go wrong with that because your product's probably just one fill and it's done. So those are kind of, and you get what you pay for. It doesn't make sense to cut corners on molds. So if you're dealing with any casting houses, get a really good one and keep them.
Cool. This is good. So yeah, you're a little bit more about you and what you're, so you've been doing this and how are your businesses? You have multiple brands, like you said, and even the kind of fun ones that we talked about earlier. How is that business going?
They're all going very well. Amazon's a little bit nonlinear. So you have some ups, you have some downs. But overall, they're really doing very well. The nice thing is once you have a client base, you can communicate with them and ask them, of these three products, which would you be most interested in? You tell them, hey, we have something coming up for the next season. Here are some options. And so that's awesome because we use our customers to help us figure out what else to produce. Another thing, this is the next turn around the track, is Amazon's one platform. There are others. You can make a choice to expand digitally across maybe other platforms in the US or even Amazon in other countries. But what we've picked is reaching out to brick and mortar stores and actually get into the old school parking lot cashier stores. And that's been an interesting ride as well.
Yeah, we've had a couple of people talking a little bit about retail stores, which is, you know, I guess mom and pops are a little bit actually easier, right, than a big box retailers because they have usually get through to the owner decision maker and make a pitch to them. But yeah, I always like diversifying too, right? Like having a lot of people are relying purely on Amazon, which is a totally amazing thing to start with. But I always like to recommend people to diversify a little bit.
But yeah, that's our system and that's how we do it. So yeah, you can follow this and get started yourself. There's no reason why anyone couldn't get started. You just have to make up your mind that this is what you're going to do.
Exactly. And yeah, I mean, I think, well, just like anything, being an entrepreneur or starting your own business is a little bit overwhelming at the beginning, you know, and there's always these excuses and reasons why people feel like it can't work for them. And they just, I always tell people, you just got to start making mistakes, you know, or just doing it, you know, not being afraid to learn as you go and get yourself going.
And that's truly the key is there is enough margin that you're going to make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Walmart makes mistakes. Nike makes mistakes. You will make mistakes, but don't worry. There is enough margin to make it work.
Great. Okay, Brad. And I know you do a lot of speaking and you have courses. Do you mind sharing a little bit more about some of that?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's interesting timing how this all played out. Tomorrow, we're launching a course with Rich Dad. Wow. So it's a course on how to make money on Amazon from home, starting with very simple budget and tools. And we walk through all the steps of the training. So that's the first place I'd steer people. Also, we have a free newsletter. If anyone wants to jump on, you can find us at azdoneforyou.com. Just reach out. And I'm happy to get anyone's, if you want feedback on what's going on, I'm happy to take a look at what's going on in your business and give you some feedback.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brad. And it's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And that's what it's all about. And it's just taking action and getting things done, whether it's a tech startup, selling on Amazon, or even video blogging, which I love video blogging lately. Some people here enjoy it too. It's mikesblog.com or vlog.com. I got both the domains. So just get into some situations. Just get things done. People always ask, you know, oh, I want to do video blogging. Oh, I want to do Amazon. Oh, I want to do this. It's just, you know, they want to find roadblocks, find barriers that just won't let them get things done and have an excuse. But I think it's just about getting it done and just picking something and just doing it. So as you get more comfortable and you get more experience, then you can invest in more inventory or invest in like fancy cameras or other things. So I hope today's show motivates you, whether it's for selling on Amazon or starting your own business or, you know, just improving anything in your life. It's just get started today and do it and just try to measure it and track it. Remember, life is short and every day is a new beginning. So I would love to hear from you if this helped you. And just keep on listening. We got more shows coming up. Take care. Bye-bye.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.